Welcome to the Faith Element podcast for the December 20, 2020 session, focusing on Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, Revealing Love. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
This is the session for the fourth Sunday in Advent already. And it is traditionally the Sunday where we focus on love. Now, I mean, hopefully we focus on love all year long, but it's a particular theme of the fourth Sunday of Advent. And so it made me wonder, because I know, you know, we can talk about love and it can get soft and squishy and we have, you know, different ways of talking about it. But in this day and age, in these dark times where we live in pandemic time, I think we may even be seeing different kinds of expressions of love than we typically might. So I'm curious, what kind of expressions of love are you noticing in these days?
I don't know if this is really answering your question, but here's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, here in Virginia, we had, up until several weeks ago, had been doing okay, relatively speaking, with coronavirus, such that our church was able to open back up for in-person worship. And a couple weeks ago, we made the very difficult decision to pull back on that and have virtual worship through the rest of the year. And I knew that wouldn't be a popular decision with everyone and would cause some hurt feelings. But last week, on the first, as we're recording this, on the afternoon of the first Sunday of Advent, which was the first Sunday that we went to virtual again, we had a drive-through, an Advent drive-through, and where I got to see church members, give them a gift, offer a blessing, etc. And one of my church members said, "Thank you for making that decision. I know it wasn't easy and was heartbreaking, but I know it was an act of love." And it was an act of love to me for her to say that and to hear that. You know, I'm not trying to be woe's me, but so many of those of us in leadership have, you know, we're either giving into fear or we're trying to kill people or whatever, all of the things that are being lobbed at us. Here was someone who said, I know you took no delight in this, but thank you for trying to speak truth and do what was right. Whenever I think of that moment, I have been teary since then because it was just such a tender moment of care and love.
Yeah.
So,
in my particular place, I have experienced love from my kids' teachers. Virtual school has been hard. It is, and I've got good kids, and they enjoy school. They've never really struggled too much. I've been very blessed in that way, and this has been really difficult. And it is exactly what we need to be doing because of where we are and how bad the pandemic is here and the communities that would be affected if our kids went back to school. And so I think it's the right decision, but it doesn't make it easier. And when I have been a lot anxious about my kids' schoolwork and understanding how it all works, when I have reached out to teachers, they have been so gracious and caring and loving. They have calmed fears and anxieties. They have made room for late work. I don't think they're taking points off at all for late work. There's just a lot of grace and love offered from the teachers that my kids are with.
I think of a nurse I know here in town. She and I actually got to know her on the other end of it, the receiving end of her nursing skills when I was having surgery a couple of months ago, and then I kept up with her because we both come from New Orleans, and I asked her recently how she's doing, chatting, and she goes back and forth in the COVID unit, as well as post-surgical units, and she said she had somebody yell at her, a patient yell at her for wearing her mask, and for telling people that they need to be wearing masks because this was all a hoax, and she said that upset her, when all this is going on. But then, you know, she goes right back and she does what she does. And she does what she does not because she needs a paycheck. I mean, you don't do nursing because you need a paycheck. Some people might, but she genuinely loves helping others and helping mm-hmm. others, whether or not they're going to show an appreciation or not. Mm. And I thought of her when you asked that question. Mm. Mm.
Yeah, there are so many places where we're seeing expressions of love and care and kindness and grace that are hard, that are sacrificial, that cost. I know just conversations tend to start these days, you know, even with the multitude of Zoom meetings, which is kind of how I see people now. They tend to start with, well, how are you doing in the pandemic? Or, and of course, Thanksgiving wasn't too long ago. And right. How was your Thanksgiving? Well, it was odd, but, you know, we were safe. And you know, I know the story is common among many families where there's a distant relative and then there's the fear of traveling. And so our son and his wife are in Atlanta, and we had planned to be with them for Thanksgiving. They had invited us to be at their home, and then they were to be here for Christmas. And, you know, we've had to have the conversations, and thankfully it's been mutual where we are all, let's be safe. And, mm-hmm. you know, we want to have many more Thanksgivings and Christmases together, but it's costly. And so, you know, it's an act of love to care and protect. And I think they're probably protecting their old dad and mom more than me protecting them. But still, you know, it's an act of love to do that because it costs. Mm. And anyway, interesting days. I would sure like to return to the days where we can show love with flowers and candy and gifts and song.
Right. Yes.
So, well, it is this the Advent Sunday when we focus on love. And Daniel, would you help us get started with this passage?
Yeah, I'll try. But you know, I don't think I've ever preached on this text before. And you know what else? Having to discuss it now makes me a little bit gripey. For one thing, it has nothing to do with Advent. Second, it's doubtful Paul even wrote this. Third, it's essentially one long run-on sentence. That offends me, my sense of decent sentence structure. Fourth, this passage is heavy on theology. And we're in the midst of the Advent season, a time for story, wonder, mystery, not theological discourse. As Professor Sally Brown puts it, doxology seems to resist commentary. But this is the text we're given, so rather than squirm away from it, as would be my preference, let's take a closer look. The book of Romans ends just as it begins, with doxological benediction. Or would that be a benedictory doxology? Whatever. Told you I was griping. Sorry. In essence, what we have here is a beautiful mix of blessing and praise. We're familiar with that praise God from whom all blessings flow doxology, but this one in particular praises the person of Jesus Christ and the glorious gift we've been given in his incarnation. Well, shoot. Maybe this is an Advent text after all. Perhaps that's why the editors of the lectionary pointed our eyes to this passage in Romans. On the final Sunday of Advent 2020, this text calls us to fix our gaze and fix our hearts upon that which is most important to our faith and important in our lives, the gift of Jesus Christ. To quote Romans, "To whom be the glory forever. Amen." These three verses at the end of this letter we're studying today call the church to praise God, quote, through Jesus Christ. What might that mean? Well, to praise God through Jesus Christ, I believe, is to contemplate the paradoxical glory and scandal of God incarnate. That is, it is to many people downright scandalous that God would be born to a poor peasant family in first century Palestine. And to others, like me, I suppose, it is nothing short of miraculous. I find it amazing, not only that God chose to come to earth, but that he came as someone like me and like you, a tiny, fragile baby. I have spent much of my teenage and adult years contemplating this, but still, it amazes me that Jesus, Son of God, eternally present even at the beginning of time, creator of all that is, Savior of the universe, came to earth as a human being. There's something rather incredible about a God that you can see. One of Jesus' great gifts is that when we look at him, we see God's face. Which means, of course, that God looks like you and me and every human being on this earth. And what's more, there's something rather incredible about a God you can touch. I love what the hymn writer Tom Troger says, "This child shall be Emmanuel, not God upon the throne, but God with us, Emmanuel, as close as blood and bone." About 10 years ago, I was called to the hospital in the North Carolina town where I was serving as pastor at the time. It was almost bedtime, and one of the nurses had called me. "Is this Reverend Glaze?" "Yes, ma'am, it is. How may I help you?" "Well, I have a patient here who's near death. We believe it could come at any minute. The family has asked for last rites to be administered. We can't find Father Tom. Can you come quickly?" Now, I'm no Catholic priest. I've never done last rites. I'm not even sure what's involved. And then I remembered what a professor said to me in seminary. "There will come a time. There will be an occasion whereby you are called upon to minister, but for which you feel inadequate and unprepared. Still, you must go." I changed my clothes and went to the hospital. I met there in the hospital bed an attractive woman, a young mother, who had cancer. I prayed that here at the end, God would be gracious and merciful. I prayed for her children and husband, that they would be loved and cared for. I prayed for her to join the great communion of saints who live with God eternally. I held her hand. I made the sign of the cross on her forehead, and I prayed for her soul. And she died in my hands. Reflecting upon that experience, and I'm still reflecting upon that experience, I have come to realize what a holy moment that was. It was not holy because of the prayers I prayed. It was not holy because of the scripture I read. It was holy because this young woman, as she was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, asked me to stand by her and to touch her. The incarnation is a way to say we believe in a God you can touch. A God who holds on to you and wants to walk through life with you. What a great Christmas gift that is. It's one deserving of a doxology like this. "To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." And that's a little background on our text for today.
Daniel, for somebody so gripey about that text, you sure did do a beautiful job with it.
Thank you.
You really did.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and I find myself, as I was listening to you, thinking about how much I miss touch. How much I miss hugging my friends, how much I miss shaking hands when I meet somebody for the first time. That's weird too, right? You meet somebody and then your right arm, you kind of feel that right arm want to move. Like it moves forward, like you're going to shake. And then you kind of back up, you do that thing where, nope, that's not what I was doing. I'm sorry. You know, I miss touch. I am blessed to be able to be with my kids and we cuddle and do all of that. But I miss that with my friends. I really do. And I think it's because so much love and care that we offer to one another happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, when you were speaking, again, I echo what Nikki said. It was an excellent, for someone who's griping about it, it was an excellent introduction. But your experience that you shared, in the back of my mind, because what David asked made me think of my nurse friend. Your experience that you just shared made me think of my nurse friend and so many in the medical community right now in COVID units across the country who are the only touch people have as they take their final breaths. And to think about people with masks and, you know, maybe complete strangers until a few days before you got into the hospital, being the presence of Christ, being the ministerial presence, just to be there and hold a hand. But and that's not to take away from what your experience. Thank you for sharing that. But that duty right now seems to be falling on people who aren't even trained for that and don't feel qualified for it. And that comes back to your question, David. That's love right now.
Yeah, I saw a picture circulating that showed this collection of probably 30 or 40 iPads on these rolling stands that they roll into
units.
They're the goodbye iPads, you know, so people can say goodbye to their loved ones. And I cannot even imagine.
I'm not a psychology or pastoral care expert, but I have noticed among church members and others some incredible emotional difficulties that they're experiencing because they've had to delay memorial services. You know, we as ministers here, we know and we understand that as difficult as they are, those moments, those rites, those rituals serve to minister to us. And so when you have four people in a chapel and 30 people joining by Zoom, I'm grateful we have that technology, but it doesn't cut it.
Mm-mm.
And so this is a struggle with me here, because for me, the incarnation is so closely, as I mentioned in my introduction, so closely associated with touch. That is, Christ not only came to earth as a human being, but inhabits all of us. And is you know, that namaste idea that the divine in me greets and touches and embraces the divine in you. And so, how do we deal with that? How do we embrace that's the wrong word. How do we talk about that and understand that at a moment when we're scared to touch anyone, and rightfully so. I'm not
right.
You know, that's
well. We're talking about nearness and intimacy and distance and separation, right? I mean, all those dynamics we feel, and when we find ourselves thinking about God, it's easy to also fall into that. You know, is God distant and above and beyond? Is God near and intimate and close? Is a love about spanning a distance? Was there ever a distance, or has God always been close to us, and we just can't always see it? Which I think was part of what Nikki was getting at in her Bible background. I don't know if you want to say anything to that, Nikki. But
sure. Yeah. So, Daniel, I loved the direction that you went with this, and this is why I love Scripture so much. It's because the four of us could all look at the Scripture separately and write backgrounds on it, and they would all four be very, very different. And what I kind of worked with in my Bible background for the session pages was connecting it to the other lectionary texts for the day. And so we had the story of Nathan, the prophet Nathan telling King David that God has always been there and that God will continue to bless David after he's gone. After he's long gone, there'll be a monarchy that continues forever. And then we know that we follow that line to the person of Jesus. And that while there's not a monarchy in the sense of what David probably imagined, there was this continued line through the person of Jesus. And then the next story is the Annunciation of Mary, where she shares about God's revelation to her that she'll be carrying Jesus in her womb. And she shares that with her cousin Elizabeth and that beautiful song that she sings. And as I was working on these, this revelation of God's presence with us is peppered all the way throughout the story of Scripture. It shows up, God is present with the Israelites in Egypt. God is present with King David. God is present with the prophets. God is present when an Israelite falls to Babylon. And then God is present with Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph when baby Jesus comes. And I think the story of Scripture is that God is there. God is available. God is present, and God is love to us. And in the person of Jesus, we see that fully revealed. And it's not that in the person of Jesus, God changes. Something new for God happens. But something new does happen, I think, for us, where we get to tangibly see and experience what God looks like in a figure, a human, that we can recognize. And so, David, I think absolutely God has always been there. And in a sense, the foundation of our very being. And I think that it is our own disconnection from God that we allow to separate us from that. But the reality is that God's love is always there and always has been. David, I think that's why I love the question that you asked at the beginning of this. How are we experiencing love today?
Yeah.
And if we have experienced, if we can see the tracks of God's love throughout the story of Scripture, if we continue to look throughout history, we will see God's love expressed over and over and over and over again through one another. And I think that even though we are living in a time in which we cannot express love in the same ways that we are used to, we can't take over a potluck dinner when somebody passes away. We can't give a friend a hug or a pat on the back when they're having a hard time. Humanity is finding ways to show God's love to one another in new ways, albeit insufficient. I will be the first to say, it's like that this virtual school for me. It is the right thing, and it is still awful. But there, you know, I mean, yeah, that's just true. Like, both of those things are true. Yeah. The right thing still, pardon me, sucks. And I mean, that's just the reality. And I think that we can still find ways to love one another, albeit in ways that are insufficient, but God's love is still communicated, and our love for one another is still communicated.
I once heard a Lutheran singer-songwriter named Michael Bridges. Some people, especially if you've been in youth ministry, might remember the group or the duo Lost and Found. And Michael Bridges is one of the two members of Lost and Found. And he said that God spoke a word of love, capital L. God spoke a word of love whose name was Jesus. I love the phrasing that God spoke a word of love whose name, who, love is a who, whose name was Jesus. Mm. And I remember reading the message, Eugene Peterson's The Message. The first chapter of John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. You know that. And I remember saying, okay, well, let's take the Word and change Word to love, right? and in the beginning was love, and love was with God, and love was God, and love was in the beginning with God. And this is using Peterson's translation of John, and love became flesh and blood and lived among us.
So much of our experience of Advent is, or at least for me, has been caught up in the music of Advent, in the hymns that we sing during this season that perhaps we don't sing at other times. And there is a power to that. There's one hymn that maybe is not as well as known as well known as some of the others, but I was really drawn to it because of this text today, and also frankly because of this Christmas that we are experiencing. This is our pandemic Christmas, Lord. I hope it's our only pandemic Christmas.
Right?
Amen.
But it may be that we are discovering the value and power of love, that we are noticing love in ways that we have not before because of these experiences. Anyway, the hymn says it so much better. It's called Love Came Down at Christmas. The author's Christina Georgina Rossetti. And he goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, but here are the words. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherefore for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and others, love for plea and gift and sign. May we all find ourselves closer to the one who is love, who comes to us as love, and who calls for us to be with one another in love. Thank you all for this good conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about our Faith Element Bible study curriculum at faithelement.net. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.